Our next speaker is James McCurdy with co-authors Scott McElroy, Michael Flessner, Beth Gertal, and Jose Mosidas. And we're going to be learning about using trifolium species in managed turf.
Thanks very much. I am Jay McCurdy. The title of this presentation is Utilizing Trifolium Species in Managed Turfgrass Polycultures, but specifically, I wanted to talk about some issues which we've had to overcome within our own research. That research is establishing and estimating nitrogen and carbon change within the soil due to clover inclusion within warm season grasses, specifically white clover within Bermuda grass. As we're all aware, turfgrass is continuously criticized as an unsustainable link in urban development. A proposed means of increasing turfgrass sustainability is legume inclusion by its nitrogen fixation and contribution to overall soil health, as well as by increasing the biodiversity of a turfgrass sward and subsequent pollinator habitat increase. Little, however, is known about establishing these legumes within maintained warm season turfgrass, and yet further, maintaining and expanding these legume populations without noxious weed succession is quite troublesome in the southeastern United States, assuming many other places as well. We proposed three projects to investigate and perhaps overcome some of the hurdles which we had within our own research. Project one was an inoculation by nitrogen rate effect upon seeded establishment study, where we just looked at the effects of nitrogen rate and inoculation upon establishing white clover in a native soil. Project two was establishment methodology, just looking at ways to establish within Bermuda grass. And then project three was a legume response to common herbicides. Information concerning pre-plant inoculation of white clover is quite limited. In fact, it's somewhat conflicting. Native rhizobia species do exist in many soils, especially in the southeast where there are many legumes present. And these strains within the soil often compete with the inoculating strains which are added at the time of seeding. Furthermore, nitrogen fertilization decreases clover density and allows a grass portion of the sward to succeed. However, this is not always true depending upon certain soil factors as well as certain competition between different ecologies. The objective of Project 1 was to evaluate inoculation by nitrogen rate effects upon white clover establishment. We did this as a greenhouse experiment as a completely random design. It was a 2x6 factorial with two inoculation levels, either inoculated or uninoculated, and then we had six different nitrogen rates from 0 to 9.8. As I said, this was a native soil. It had recently been fumigated with methyl bromide. It was a centipede grass sand. We simply we excavated soil from the 5 to 20 centimeter layer, mixed that, and it had no recent history of legume growth, so it was one of the more sterile sites which we would have had to overseed legumes into. These push pins actually correspond to the picture line along the bottom. Dutch white clover was inoculated with a clover-specific rhizobium. We then applied our monthly nitrogen rates as calcium nitrate about a month after establishment, depending upon timing. And then we simultaneously fertilized with a modified nitrogen-free Hoagland solution to account for any differences due to micronutrients. Plants were mown on a biweekly basis until 2 weeks before the final harvest. Then we harvested foliar growth. We looked at leaf area, foliar dry weight, trifoliate leaf number, and lengths of petioles. We also freed the roots from the soil and analyzed nodule count and size, as well as all root dry matter was dried to obtain weights. We failed to detect inoculation by nitrogen rate interaction or inoculation main effect, so a bit dismayed. However, only root dry weight differed due to nitrogen rate. This graph is on the y-axis, root dry weight as milligrams per pot. Along the x-axis are our increasing nitrogen rates. Even though inoculated and uninoculated plants are presented separately as either red or blue dots, this is just to show effect that in general, as we increase nitrogen rates, so too did root dry weight. This has some far-reaching effects in that better establishing or a better root establishment actually gives us better chances of soil carbon change, and it also gives us a more healthy and resilient stand. Just a quick synopsis. We acknowledge some complexities of doing a native soil study, but again, this was for our own benefit, looking at establishment, whether we needed to inoculate, and whether we needed to worry about decreasing clover densities due to increasing nitrogen rate. The effects of nitrogen application upon clover alone is likely different from what we will see in mixed turf swards, and it is within our own studies. But inoculation may not necessarily be needed in certain native soil scenarios. Moving on to Project 2, this is an establishment method study where we simply evaluated different methodologies for establishing clover within warm season grasses. We had three independent studies. They were conducted as randomized complete blocks to white clover varieties, including the one which we used in Project 1, which was a medium growth style Ladino clover. And then, in addition, there was a DLF micro clover. We had five different factors within each independent study. Study 1 was a mechanical disruption study where we had, again, two different white clover varieties, either Dutch white clover or DLF micro clover. And then we had different mowing and establishment or disruption scenarios, either a normal 3.8 centimeter mown turf or scalp turf, scalp plus aerification, scalp plus verticutting or verticutting twice. And we simply hypothesized that as we increase soil disruption level, we would see more establishment. We seeded October 12th at 1.5 grams per meter squared. That's approximately a quarter of what you might see in many forage-type scenarios, so 13 pounds per acre versus 50 pounds per acre. But because we can control the soil disruption level as well as moisture levels, and we have a shorter sand of turf, it's quite easy to get an establishment at this rate. Study 2 is a timing study. We established at 1.5 grams per meter squared again, but we had monthly applications ranging from October through February. We were simply trying to look at when we should establish in a broad window of time. Study 3 was a rate study. October 12th seeded establishment again, but this time varying our rates from 0.4 to 6 grams per meter squared. Within the disruption study, we're just going to look at March observed establishment because March observed establishment is in Auburn, Alabama, critical to having a year-long establishment. We have such harsh summer weather and even harsh winter weather, so that if it's not established by March, it's likely not going to make it through the year. We had a disruption method effect. Variety and method by variety interactions weren't significant in this study. Very simply, scalping was our significant effect. So all plots, whether they were verticut once or twice or had small-time aerification, had the same level of establishment when observed in March, as did the scalped-only plots. And let me backtrack. This is trifoliate leaves for meter squared on the y-axis, and I'll present several slides very similar to this, with the x-axis being our actual factors for each independent study. Looking at timing, the timing study, again, establishing ranging from October to February, we do see an establishment and variety effect, mainly that establishment we see October was our best timing. We're actually recommending to anyone looking to establish white clover, especially in Bermuda grass within our locale, to establish about 2 to 3 weeks before historical first frost. So we're about to historical first frost in Auburn, ranging from the 17th to 19th of October. Again, you might be thinking, well, you know, those seed that were established in January, February, you likely haven't seen them pop yet. That's true. I'll look at some July data in just a second, but there was a variety difference. We do observe anecdotally and in several other studies that the Dutch white clover we're using, even though these Dutch and micro have similar germination rates when tested in the lab, we actually get better resilience from the Dutch white clovers, whether that's because of withstanding some late frost we're having or whether that's because of some dry conditions, not quite certain. July observed data for the same timing study. We again had a timing and variety effect. This time you do see, again, October timing was our best timing, but you're beginning to see January perhaps being an effective month to establish. And we're doing some more work to refine this. Again, a variety difference, Dutch white clover being about twice the amount of establishment. The rate study, of course, rate's going to be important. We have regressed data, but when we're looking at establishing within our own modeling systems, we need a consistent amount of clover. We're aiming for about 500 trifoliate leaves per meter squared. That's actually a pretty aesthetically appealing green mixture. To get that, we're recommending, or using our own research, approximately 3 to 6 grams per meter squared. A quick synopsis. Study 1, certainly scalping is important. We all know that from just anecdotally seeding perennial ryegrass into Bermuda grass or perhaps other studies. Certainly October's timing was important, and that's because of certainly some harsh winter conditions as well as oncoming spring thaws and frost. Study 3, a 3 to 6 grams rate is what we're recommending. Project 3 was simply a herbicide response study. Little is known about weed control within biodiverse turf legume swards. This is important for roadsides and home lawns so that we don't have noxious weed succession such as that from Dichondra or Digitaria species. The objective was simply to evaluate cool season legume response to common turf herbicides. We had 6 different clover materials or clover-like materials, including our perennial stand of white clover, small hop clover, which is an annual, rabbit's foot clover, crimson clover, ball clover, and spotted burr clover. This may take a second to load. It's frozen. Okay, we activated these with a golf green cup cutter, transplanted them into either field or greenhouse conditions, and then we applied some herbicides ranging from 2,4-D and 2,4-DB, all of our phenoxy-like herbicides, as well as PS2 inhibiting herbicides, atrazine and bentazone, and then some ALS inhibiting herbicides, namely metsulfuron, methyl, and mazethepure, two that we were particularly interested in. We evaluated these for visual injury 4 weeks after treatment, and we looked at height and weight reduction 6 weeks after treatment. Just looking at visual injury, all the response variables are actually on the y-axis of the following graphs. And then our factors here were our different clover or clover-like species. We certainly see that burr clover is much more susceptible to both herbicide injury as well as environmental factors. We often do not consider burr clover an effective additive to turf grass, although it is pretty effective in some forage scenarios. We do see some general trends. Specifically looking at visual injury, we see some candidate herbicides. Particularly in the greenhouse study, we saw that 2,4-DB, MCPA, and imazethepure, as well as bentazone, were effective treatments and were quite safe on our clover species. And I'll talk about these just briefly, these different herbicides, if it'll load. Okay. Some candidate herbicides include 2,4-DB, which is commonly applied to many leguminous crops, including soybeans. Another candidate herbicide, which we think is quite safe on white clover, perhaps not on some of the other clovers, is MCPA. MCPA is very effective in mixtures, so we're actually going to begin evaluating mixtures, including MCPA, perhaps with imazethepure. Imazethepure is Pursuit. It's labeled for clover seed production. Another ME, which is not mentioned here, is Imazamox, which is quite safe on white clover, but it's really not effective on ball clover, which is sometimes called small white clover. Bentazone, not a really effective herbicide. However, it gives us quite a bit of control of Kalinga and nutsedge species, so we're going to look further into some mixtures with all of these. Some overarching conclusions. Certainly turf legume swards, in my opinion and others' opinions, are viable scenarios via their increase in biodiversity, increase in pollinator habitat, but specifically from the standpoint of increasing soil nitrogen and carbon levels. Little, however, is known about establishment and maintenance of these scenarios. We're looking at other evaluations, such as looking at perhaps contribution to nitrogen from foliage, such as that occurs during clipping occurrences. Cost-benefit analysis must scientifically evaluate sustainability. And by that, I mean there's not great research out there tracking the flux of carbon and nitrogen within these systems. I think I'm out of time. So maybe one question? 2 questions. All right. Yes, sir.
Your recommended seeding rate is well above what the normal forage folks would use for white clover. And at $3, $4 a pound, the white clover seed can get to be expensive on very large lawns.
I agree. Repeat the question. A comment is that these are fairly high rates. I do tend to see about 50 pounds per acre in Bermuda grass overseeded in the Auburn area. And that's not just anecdotal. We've seen some published recommendations from Auburn.
Not for forage.
Perhaps not. We don't have any more time for questions. I will say, though, that when we are seeding such small areas... I think it's quite affordable, and this range of seeding is it is within the realm of possibility, and it is actually recommended rates in other places as well. So, thanks.